Amanda Palmer on keyboards and songs, and drummer Brian Viglione make up the Dresden Dolls. The band's music can best be described as punk cabaret, getting its inspiration at least partially from the decadence of the Weimar Republic in Germany. The band has a very close relationship with their fans, who often contribute visually to the live show. Amanda Palmer may at first seem like the focus of the band as she sings, but the amazingly expressive drumming of Brian Viglione is at least part of the show. We started our conversation actually talking about his drumming influences with Brian, who it turns out had an encounter with the great jazz drummer Elvin Jones at an early age.
That was, I think, probably the best thing about my father, is that he saw that I took a real love for drumming, and he tried to foster that love in any way he could, whether it was helping me buy gear or just turning me on to great musicians and players. And he really supplied me with that kind of belief that the drums are a real musical instrument that has the potential to really develop your own voice, your own character through that. And so he brought me to see Elvin Jones, as people know, who played with John Coltrane and many other jazz greats throughout the years, when I was 11 years old, and it absolutely changed my life.
Wow.
And yeah, and that sort of spirit, that kind of creative spirit, is something I've admired and emulated, you know, since I was really young. It's just been the real guiding force, and that's why when I met Amanda, it felt like all of those strange influences, whether it was heavy metal or punk or musical theater or jazz, they all found a home within this music.
Yeah, you get to play just about everything.
Yeah, it was a pretty fortunate situation. Yeah.
And Amanda, I understand you were set in front of a piano at a very young age, but this, a lot is... I'm assuming, because of reading about you berating Brian for not writing, that a lot of these are your songs. Where did this your imagination and your love for the words and everything come from?
You know, that's something that I've tried really hard not to think too much about. But I mean, I think one thing that Brian and I really have in common is that from that really young age, probably 10, 11 years old, we very single-mindedly knew what we wanted to do with our lives. Neither of us really had a plan B. You know, we both would sort of pore over our record collections and look at the people on the covers and say, that's it, that's what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I think, you know, the first step in doing that when I grew up meant that I had to start writing my own songs. And I started improvising on the piano when I was really young, and it started out with just writing little songs that were three words long and that only had a couple of notes in them, and then they grew and grew. And, you know, it was just, to me, and especially as I've gotten older and I've realized that my true passion is, I think, just performing and creating these great spaces and environments in which a bunch of people get together and share art and share creativity. Music seems to be a really direct way to do that. It was much more direct than painting or poetry or something that, you know, didn't spark a conversation or an event with other people. And I think, you know, music was the perfect way of doing that. Theater was the other way, but theater was really complicated. Theater involved getting 20 people together beforehand, right, and planning a lot of things out. And I'm an interesting combination of extroverted and introverted. I really like being able to work on my own thing, and then, you know, gathering all these people around it and the energy that it creates is the fun part.
People's shorthand description for the Dresden Dolls is punk cabaret. And they often report to sort of the decadent cabaret of the Weimar Republic in Germany. And I note that you spent a drunken year in Germany, and I'm wondering if the two have any connection at all.
You know, it's interesting. The love of Germany came before I went over there, and it all started with a person, a mentor, as these things usually go. I was deeply in love at 15 years old with this guy from my hometown who was half German. He'd grown up in Berlin, and his obsessive love of Germany and all things German really influenced me, influenced my music taste and the books that I would look at and the films that I watched. And that, you know, I stayed together with him for about 3 years, and it really just became a part of my personality as it was his. And then going abroad just seemed like a natural way to do it. I really wanted to go. But, you know, it's that thing. We have this fantasy. We all have this, I think Europeans and Americans share this collective fantasy of what cabaret was. And, like, you imagine, like, you know, I had my own fantasy. Like, I'll go to Germany and all of a sudden I'll go down some dark stairway and it will be smoky and people will be talking about art and it's going to be so exciting. And, you know, it's just as much of fantasy over there as it is here. And as with everything, you realize if you want it, you have to make it yourself. And so you might find that spirit more in Los Angeles or in St. Louis than you actually find in Berlin. It's just depends what the people there are doing.
We have the movies to thank for our, our images of that, too. Definitely. Well, let's move on. You want to do something from the new album?
Absolutely.
Yes. And we're going to try a little experiment here. We have some guests in the audience who are going to join us on the song. The Mandy Goes to Med School Rat Pack.
I've been feeling dirty as a coat, hanging pretty as a picture of a patient on a fresh IV. Dirty as a gangbanger with a set of sutures, where is Magic Johnson on to be? Yes, I'll tell you just the thing you need to be the next big thing. Let's start in with a test of your intelligence and zest for recovering up and down and round about and out the back and keep your mouth shut tight. The lights are staying out but no sweat. I've got aim like a Mack truck. Guess how many fingers. Okay, guess how many more I can fit there. That's right, get the toaster. But you know misguessing gets you nowhere. I've been baking cakes for the enemy. I've been dying find out the hard way. I've been taking friends to the enemy. It's too down now, but who's thing. To get professional, it's got a nice ring. Man. Thoroughly.
a rock band.
Indeed. Dresden Dolls are playing live for us today. I think it's time to talk about the sexuality that soaks this work of you guys. We had to carefully choose songs because you because of language, you know, some language issues.
Yeah, there's a little bit of dirty language on the record.
But but used really effectively, you know. I mean, not gratuitously, shall we say?
Yeah, I think it can be very, very dangerous to use a gratuitous, explicit language, because then it doesn't really have a powerful punch when you do use it.
Yeah.
And especially, I mean, one of the things that I find about songwriting is that a well-placed, explicit word in a song where it really is taking you by surprise can be very powerful.
Very effective, yeah. And there's all kinds of people in all kinds of sexual situations in almost all these songs, which is actually refreshing in a lot of ways too. Some of you don't hear.
I think a lot of that is a response of mine to just the 90% of stuff that I do here on the radio. So many songs are sexually oriented and love oriented, and you hear a lot of songs about like, ooh, my baby left me, and ooh, I'm so sad to be alone, and ooh, I love you so much. But given the fact that real human beings' emotional love lives and sexual lives are so much more complicated than that, it's kind of a pity that you don't really hear that expressed much on the radio. And I certainly, from the time I was a teenager, I really sort of made it one of my personal missions to try to be as honest as I could, at least about my own experiences with that in my songs.
One of the things one reads, and the question always asked about Dresden Dolls are Brian and Amanda a couple? And my understanding is that you are not, but people are always kind of fascinated by the fact that, gee, it's a man and a woman together in a band, or, and there's the other thing that's kind of fascinating is, gee, they're just two of them. Which is in reality more, more of a problem or more interesting for the two of you, being just a duo or?
Well, it's, it's interesting, but both of us, I think, have pretty strong personalities, but also a really electric chemistry together. And I think that, if anything, is the main reason why people, wonder, are they together? Are they an item? Is that a thing? Because there's a tremendous amount of, sexual tension and playfulness on stage that I think people see and are sort of, drawn into. But, I think being a duo for both of us, it leaves us able to sort of maximize the freedom in our musical roles on stage, because me as a rhythm section player, the more members I add, the more I sort of have to confine myself to that section of the band. With Amanda, I'm very free to play off the lyrics. Same for Amanda the other way around. And also we also work off of impulse very much of the time. That's been like a guiding force in this band, is do what feels right in the moment. So that, only having two people to deal with opinions, makes things a little bit more easy. Yet also, when there's a conflict, there's no one to kind of turn to and talk to, as people
you
can
can't
imagine.
Triangulate or all right.
But what we've noticed, and one of the things, along with a solid work ethic, has been a solid emotional growth ethic, I think, is that we've really tried to grow and confront the problems that we found interpersonally head on and say, let's not just run for this and let's not go gripe to somebody else. But when there is a conflict, try to A, check yourself and your own personal behavior and see how that relates to the other person. And I think it's really, at least we're trying to increase our empathy and our
understanding. This band is a lot like a marriage. It really is. And when people ask us, do we think about adding a third member, to me, this conversation is so, is so distilled and pure and fantastic that it's, even though we're not lovers, it's almost sounds as strange as like adding a third person in bed. Like you've got, you've already got this relationship going on. we know how to respond to each other, and you add a third person, all of a sudden it may sound like a great idea, but it's actually really confusing.
Right. We'll see how it goes. We've played with people in the past, and we continue to incorporate other players on stage. There's great, very talented friends of ours who play stringed instruments and accordions and dancers and things like that. But the main musical core, I think, really relies on that chemistry between Amanda and myself.
And, you know, having another voice on that, on Delilah, really helps
absolutely.
You. But do you, I mean, relationships notwithstanding, do you ever miss, like, the bottom end in what you do, like having
Well, you know, the piano, I mean, tell me that's not a bottom end, right? And the beautiful thing about piano and drums is that they're both so expansive. You've got this down here, and you've got this up here, and the piano almost encompasses all instruments. And the drums, especially the way Brian plays them, are incredibly melodic and expansive. So there's a reason that piano and drums work as a duo. It's not like we're playing harp and flute.
Gotcha.
You know?
Gotcha. Dresden Dolls are playing live for us today, and what's next?
We're going to play another song off of the new album, Yes, Virginia. This is one of my personal favorites, and ever so slightly controversial, but a very beautiful song called Mrs. O.
Yeah.
Mrs. O from the Dresden Dolls, who are playing live for us today on the World Cafe. And that becomes the title track of Yes, Virginia, the new album. Yes, Virginia from the Letter to Santa Claus?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Dresden Dolls, I guess, for those of you who are who don't know your history, or Dresden was, of course, the city that was bombed to nothing during World War II. But the Dresden Dolls were souvenirs from before or after? Was it part of the...
Well, I've always heard that Dresden Dolls were these very... I mean, you can still find them nowadays. They're these beautiful little porcelain figurines made out of Dresden china.
Which came from before the war or after the war?
Definitely before the war.
Yeah. I was wondering if it was part of trying to reclaim the city to start an industry. But and why did that image ring for you?
Well, I remember, I mean, as we were trying to name the band, we were coming up with all sorts of silly ideas, and I had that phrase floating around in my head, and I just thought it so perfectly captured both sides of the band. There's this, on the one hand, you've got this kind of dramatic, tragic, you know, bombastic, you know, punk rock noise happening, and on the other hand, you've got this, you know, the ultimate sort of like feminine, innocent, little childlike part of the doll, and putting them together, and you know, also had a nice little European sound to it, which I thought was a nice nod to the cabaret influence. So it just worked, and it rolled off the tongue nicely. The Dresden Dolls.
And Led Zeppelin was taken, so.
And Led Zeppelin was taken.
Indeed. Dresden Dolls are playing live. I want to talk a little bit about your connection with your audience as well, as far as visual arts is concerned, because if you get the booklet to the new album, Yes, Virginia, in particular, there are some extraordinary photographs in the booklet, which are people have sent to you or contacted you with.
I mean, a huge part of this band has been including the artistic talents of our fans and friends, for that matter, from day one. And so the booklet of the album is almost like an art book in itself. It's got photographs taken in an abandoned theater by a friend of mine, but inlaid through Photoshop into all of the photographs of this theater, which has since been torn down. Our paintings and other creations that we had our fans send in. I think we got about 500 submissions, and they were all song-specific, and we chose the best ones and integrated them into a kind of a page-by-page gallery of all the songs on the album. But it doesn't stop with that. I mean, we get a lot of submissions of lots of... I mean, people send us films and gorgeous sculptures and paintings and photographs of all this work inspired by the Dresden Dolls. It's really beautiful, very inspiring.
We've been playing an inspiring song that closes up the album called Sing, and you able to do that?
Absolutely.
Sing.
Sing from the Dresden Dolls, finishing up our set today. Brian Viglione on drums, vocals, guitar, and Amanda Palmer on piano, vocals, songs, and help from Anna Vogelzang on vocals today, and our finger snapping chorus as well. that is an inspiring song, and I wasn't sitting like reading along the lyrics, but are you ever inspired to change them as per the night? Because
I just changed them just now.
I had an idea you might have. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's one of the beautiful things about being a live band. We change lyrics, songs, and everything all the time. Keeps things interesting for everybody.
For all of us. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us in.
Dresden Dolls, our guests, and we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.